Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
Then, when you kiss and make up, that one that you kiss up and make up to is that one who now can manipulate you and control you from that day on. And you're going to hate them. It happens. Then when they have the fight, just stand back and say, have a good fight. Don't even say that. That's also a reaction of goodness. And the reaction of horror, like, oh, they're fighting. Oh, my God, save them. Save them. They're lost. It's like, what can I do? What can I do? Get in the middle of them and push them apart. They'll mash me in the head. Don't get in the middle. What'll I do? How do you know they're fighting? I went over there and looked. Go home. But I know they're fighting. That goes with the knowledge of going over there and sticking your nose in where it didn't belong. They called me and told me. What did they say? Your son has been doing to me, your daughter-in-law. It's like, I don't want to hear it. Hang up. You'll react when you hang up. There'll be a reaction. Because the emotion will be there. Oh, I wish they wouldn't fight. Oh, I wish they'd get along. Oh, I wish, I wish, I wish. Those don't work. They don't work. See, what do? Run around the block. Go do some work. Sit down, send them the light. Don't react to the situation that you have no control over. And if you can control it, you're manipulating them and you're falling through ego just as fast. It's like, God, this is hard to live. This is very easy to live. Why? I haven't given you the prescription yet. I've just diagnosed the illness, pinpointed the disease. You want the prescription already? I tell you. When fear comes upon you and hatred comes upon you, I don't mean that you're just saying that, I think I hate you. I'm talking about when it's going, friends, and no matter who comes in the door, they're going to get a blast with it. That's a little late, but we can salvage something. And that is immediately submit. Immediately submit. Give in completely and let them win. And you'll hate them until hell freezes over. And if you fight and you win, they're going to be undermining you from that second on. Who wins in the fight? Nobody wins. If anything else, we hope you'd go long enough so you just couldn't talk. So you just couldn't argue, and that you would just shut up. Have you noticed that if it's not 90%, it's 100% of your problem is your mouth? The other percentage is your bowels. I'm not kidding you at all. That's the truth. They're either a pain in the rear, or you got mouth trouble. It's there. It's just to be observed. That's the prescription, to observe it. Observe it. It's like, I got to do something with my fear. Observe your fear. Observe my fear. Observe your fear. Well, how do I do that? Look at it. What do I look at? Your fear? How do I do that? It's a better question. How? Well, you say, gee, here's all this fear. I think they're going to leave me, and I'll be all alone in this world. Then what will I do? Well, you're already alone. It's like, yeah, I am. I'm alone here. And how are you handling that? Fearfully. How's the terror that came in? Well, not too bad. I could do it with a little less. How would you do that? How would you get a little less terror, a little less fear? Well, I suppose I just won't bother my head with it. That's a good approach. How about not bothering your emotions with it? Well, then I won't feel like I'm alive. Oh, don't worry about that. You'll be alive. And that part of you, the not you, that uses your emotions to maintain its designs upon you, starts to die. And then you become fearful of dying. Then you write me the letters. Oh, dear JR, I feel like I'm dying, am I? And I write back, daily. They don't mean that, so they write back, I don't mean I'm dying daily. I feel like I'm dying. When am I dying? And I write back, imminently. About that time, it's like, I'm not getting anything out of him. That's right, you're not. You're not going to control me and manipulate me like you have everyone else, because I just observe you. How do I do that? You come in, you go out. You come in, you go out. And they say, who is that? And I said, somebody that came in and went out. It's like, but don't you feel anything? Draft. They said, well, doesn't it get boring in there? I said, does it sound like it's boring? They said, no. I said, does it sound exciting? They say, no. I said, what does it sound like? They came in and they went out. I said, that's it. Don't you love them? Has nothing to do with that. Loving is a transcendental consciousness. What you call love is your emotions welling up inside of you. And that does happen. And that can also be a signal of divine love. But usually it's a signal of reaction. The model and consciousness. Oh, such a good movie. They go out. Oh, it's such nice air out. They get in the car. Oh, it's such a pretty car. They go home to bed. Oh, I'm so tired. They get up in the morning. Such a beautiful night. And then they say something else. You think, it's all the same, friends. You know, they're just dramatizing nothing. But that's just as bad as the one who you say, how are you? I say, fine. What's new? Nothing. So, you know, you have to make the personality a little vital if you're going to rip them off. If you're going to scam on them, you got to get them excited. That's what I know that you don't know. See, what's that? You've just been had. Why? You extended out of your center. And I've got you going. Say, you don't either. Want a bet? Say, how much? Say, see, there's a second proof. I say, you can't get me going. Say, I'm not even interested in you. Well, why not? That's the third one. It's like, well, what tune are you playing? Any tune I feel like, any time I feel like it. They say, how do I stop it? You can't. You that's doing it can't stop it because you don't know how. Well, how would you stop it if I were doing it to you? First of all, I would observe what you're doing and decide if I wanted to play the game. They come in, I say, game time. Now watch them. What's it going to be, chess, Monopoly? What is it? They say, new game, new games. Okay, new game. What's the new game? The new game is hook you on the old habit. It's always the new game. And how do you handle the old game? You just observe what they're doing. You observe what they're doing. I was talking to a beautiful person recently, and she was concerned that her husband was stepping out on her. And she says, well, I call him up and I ask where my husband is, and they won't tell me. And I know he's stepping out with somebody. I said, well, if you know, why do you care if they tell you? She says, well, I don't want to be the last one to know. I feel like a fool. Act like a fool. You look like a fool. I don't see why you shouldn't feel like a fool. It's like, yes, but I don't want them to take advantage of me. They're not taking advantage of you. They're not using you at all. It's like, oh, that's right. Because you react emotionally to everything. And that person can't put up with all your emotionality, so they back off for a little breath of fresh air, and then you think they're not loving you because they got to go breathe something that's not stagnant and stale. So you turn around and dump it on your child. And your child's sick. And you wonder what's wrong. You're visiting the sins of the parents onto the child. But I don't want to do that. Don't do what you're doing right now then. Don't react. Don't get emotionally involved like, oh, what am I doing to my child? All the wrong things would be the answer. But I'll tell you what's interesting. When that child gets older, it's going to try to change you, mother, and it's going to try to change you, father, and you're not going to let it change you for anything. Because what on earth could it possibly know? Look at all the terrible things that kid does. And who taught them? We did, obviously. Obviously, we taught them all the bad things they know and how to do it. And who, pray tell, is raising the children in the early years of the life in this society? The mother. And you think that's not a great responsibility to keep the old man cleaned up? So you can get along so that the child can grow. It gets very difficult. And if you could sit the child down and say, would you please sit down? I want to tell you something. But they don't do that. They do what we call nagging. You never make your bed. You never hang up your clothes. You never, never, never. And so the kid gets rebellious. Why? Because you're right. It's not that you're right that they resent, but it's the nagging that goes on. It's like, but they don't pay any attention to me if I don't nag. They resent you. They're in a state of rebellion against you. What makes you think they're not paying attention? It's like they are, aren't they? And who is going to handle this? Who's going to handle it? Father's not around. No. What the child is doing, though, is doing all those things so that you will nag them and give your energy so they can take the energy and live off it. And when they get older and they move out into the world away from the nagging mother, they're going to marry a nagging wife. and play the same game. Do the things that gets them upset so they dump the energy and you can take it and live off it. And then we wonder what's going on. And that's why I say there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening here. It's the same old stuff. Just over and over and over. And then they leave that wife and they go and they marry a second wife who nags. And they leave that wife and they marry the third and the fourth and the fifth and the eighth and the tenth. And you say, what kind of women do you marry? You say, naggers. They're all old nags. It's like in all the old nags run last in the race. And we're talking about the human race. How do you handle that? Well, it's really quite simple. You just love them unconditionally. Which means what? No reaction. No aggravation. No giving way at that first moment of wanting to give them a knuckle sandwich. No giving way when you say, well, look, you're not so smart, bad breath. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of ways to dig them. There's all sorts of ways to have discord in the family. There's all sorts of ways for you to have a fight, a makeup, a fight, a makeup, a fight, a makeup, and all that is distraction from going in and dissolving the air inside of you by observing what you're doing. Not attempting to change it because you can't change it. But you observe it. And that observation allows the light of God to shine through on it. And through understanding, you see precisely what it is. And it's easier to do than it has taken me this seminar to describe to you. But the process is the doing. Not the, well, I'm going to sit down and observe after I give them a piece of my mind. It's far too late. It's like, well, when they come in, I'm just going to ignore them. I'll make them think I can get along without them. You're in a state of reaction. You've lost. When they come in, I'll love them and make them think like they're the only one for me and they're going to stay here all the time. You're controlling. You've judged them. You're lost. It's like, God, isn't there anything you can do here? It's hell. Didn't you know that? You thought this was heaven. No. This is hell's heaven. And it rages against the truth of God right through your mouth. Energy by way of your emotions, manipulation by way of your mind, and carry through by way of your body. Hey, don't take my word for it for a second. But if I didn't describe you a little bit here tonight, would you just raise your hand? Let me just see. If I didn't describe you at all, did not describe you, some particle said, yeah, I remember. It's like, don't remember, just observe it. It's like, well, Jerry, how do I observe it, not remember? You don't let it take you off. It's like in the meditation, up comes this thing. But I remember yesterday, they slighted me. Well, I should have said, it's like, watch it, just observe this slight. What did they do? Oh, they walked in the door, saw me sitting there, and obviously turned their back on me. And that was a slight. And I didn't like that. And so I got hurt. I didn't really give them all that I should have given them because I was hurt. And they knew that. And so they slighted me more. And I finally got fed up and I left. So I won. You lost. They won. They lost. What happens? You get to do it again. I don't want to do it again. Now you got to do it twice. I want to do it again, three times. What is it? Why should you care what it is? Because I hurt. Observe your hurt. Where is it? In my knee here. What happened? Well, as I walked out, I banged my knee on the door. Well, you understand, karma, it goes snap, crackle, and pop. You popped your knee on the door. Yeah, and I'm probably going to end up with arthritis, and I'll be crippled by the time I'm 40. So? Can you see me walking around all crippled? No, but you can. It's like, yeah, I can. I lose. No, you'll have the arthritis. You win. The arthritis. But you lose health, wealth, and happiness. It's like, well, how do I react in these situations? You don't react. How do I let them know I'm there and that they'll pay me, that I'm livelihood? You do your work. How do I get a raise? You do the work very well. What if they don't give me a raise? Resent them. Does that get you the raise? No, no. How can I let them know I would like that? You walk up to them, say, do you have an incentive plan here? They say, what's that? I say, it's called a raise in pay. I say, when you do good work, say, what constitutes good work? They say, well, doing these things. You say, I have done those. They say, you get a raise in pay. You say, thank you very much. Now I can go out and buy that dress. Oh, boy, I go buy a new pair of shoes. You lose. The raise doesn't go in effect for 2 months. They didn't tell me. Ask. When does this happen? What else do I have to do to get that? Can I afford the raise? Hey, that may sound strange, but if you get to a certain tax bracket, you can't afford another because it wipes you out. It's like, instead of giving me a raise, why don't you just pay for my gas? Give me a credit card. Yeah, there's ways to handle this that can be to your advantage. But you can't gain the advantage when you're emotionalizing and mentalizing, because you're already conning them and manipulating them, and you're going to get yours whether they get theirs, and you lose. You know, if you go to an employer, a wife, a husband, and you present them very carefully, you know, the thought out, non-controlling, non-emotionalizing process, and you present it to them, way over 50% of the time, they're going to be in accord with you. Now, I didn't say they're going to go along with you, but they're going to be in accord with you, which means now you can negotiate. Now you can talk to them. You don't talk to them in terms of a scam. You talk to them in terms of that you're talking about. You don't say, well, I think your wife would be happy if you did this. That's a scam. He says, oh, my wife has nothing to do with this. It's like, I will be able to produce better because I will be able to do this, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I'll keep my word. And you're talking in terms of that moment right there and then. And the boss sits back and will observe your work habits to see if you deserve it. And when we sit back in just that pure moment of looking, that was invisible to the conscious eye then becomes visible. Then you get to see who's really exploiting you and for what reasons. And it might surprise you, the things that are put in pictures and magazines and on television, the subliminal perception that takes place, and why you react so horrendously to certain things. And just by gazing at it, not wanting to see, not attempting to see, but just seeing if you can see, it will appear. About that time, the aura comes in focus. You say, what's that? You say, well, that's the auric field. Interesting. You say, I can see the aura. Where'd it go? It's like it went on your last bolt of energy. That's why we see spiritual people often have a calm with them. You come into their presence and all your irritations, your anxieties just start settling down. Why? Because they won't feed your reaction fields. They place you in containment and hold you. And pretty soon you start mellowing out. And in that mellowing out, the light starts to move through you and you say, God, something unusual is happening to me. That's probably the best description. Then about this time, you go home, you go in bed, and along comes this purple thing. It's like, what on earth was that? And a little guy comes over and says, that's a purple ball. And you say, well, JR, what are you doing? He says, I kept picking up my purple ball. It bounced out of the field of vision. And I just want to take it and say, okay, see you later. Then they say, why don't I ever see you in the dreams? It's like, I bounce a purple ball. Sometimes all you see is the purple ball. Sometimes you don't see that. But if you don't see it, don't react, because you'll never see it. What can I do to see it? Observe what you're doing with your mind, with your emotions. Observe the way you start scheming on things. Observe how you put the make on people. Observe how you make your spouse fight with you. Observe how you demand against them and force them in the corner so you can win and lose. I think I did what I said I would do in the beginning here, didn't I? Berush Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.